from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, we'll open with focus on Haiti and the recent disastrous 7.5 earthquake that hit that island nation and killed, by most estimates, some 100,000 people. Then at 9:30, we'll turn our attention to the battle between Google and the People's Republic of China, which appears to be moving into warfare of the psychological kind. Forum is next, with your calls and emails, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum. On Tuesday, a 7.5 major earthquake hit southern Haiti, about 10 miles southwest of the capital of Port-au-Prince, wreaking catastrophic damage and a death toll of around 100,000. The National Cathedral, the National Palace, and hundreds of thousands of homes were destroyed, and electricity and water are both in short supply. The Red Cross said 3 million people are in need of help, and there are 45,000 Americans in Haiti, a country of some 9 million the size of Maryland. It's the poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere, and 80% of Haitians live below the poverty line. The damage, death, and destruction from Tuesday's earthquake has been devastating, and we're going to update you on the earthquake in this foreign segment and talk about really what is going on and what can be done. With us is Margaret Trost, who is founder and director of What If Foundation, and it's also the author of On That Day Everybody Ate, One Woman's Story of Hope and Possibility in Haiti. The What If Foundation partners with the St. Clair community of Port-au-Prince to provide food, enroll students in schools, and run a summer camp. And Margaret Trost is with us this morning from Oakland. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We also want to say good morning to Max Blanchet, vice chair of the Lambie Fund of Haiti and former president of the U.S. Board of Fonkeze, which is a microcredit organization working with the working poor in Haiti, and a local Haitian-American activist. And Max Blanchet is with us also from the East Bay, from Berkeley. Good morning, Max Blanchet.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Good to have you. And let's find out first, Margaret Trost, you found out, I guess, just recently your family is okay.
Well, just a few minutes ago, we got the first word from the community that we've been in partnership with for 10 years that our food program coordinator, so one person we know, is alive and is doing okay, and so is her family. We haven't heard from anybody else, all the other coordinators and cooks and staff and members, but this is the first word we've had from one person, and so we're very relieved and very grateful.
Well, I'm glad of that. Let's talk about just the devastation with you for a moment, because there were over 100,000 aftershocks. The capital, as I said, has largely been destroyed. A couple of thousand aftershocks, excuse me, over 100,000 people killed. And as I had indicated, a third may be in need of help. What's being done other than just countries from everywhere at least participating in some aid?
Well, that's my understanding. And I think they're just working now to coordinate efforts. I think plans are landing. I know that our program liaison is waiting to get on a cargo plane this afternoon full of water and food and medical supplies, and so he'll be able to go to Haiti and then head over to the community in Port-au-Prince where we are connected and to see what's happened, since we haven't got word out on what buildings that we've used to provide food and the people that have connected to all the students, whether those buildings are standing. But I've heard from the little bit seen that the actual supplies haven't really gotten to the majority of the people yet, that this effort is just beginning, and that the scope is so wide, so deep, so massive, that to get these supplies in and through the roads, which were difficult to go on before the earthquake, and so I can't even imagine now how difficult it is to get from one place to the other. So just a huge orchestration of help is needed, and I think it's just beginning.
Well, we're hearing a lot about Port-au-Prince, Max Blanchet, but of course outlying areas have been hurt and devastated as well, and the infrastructure, as far as response, is really just not there.
Well, the situation is very bad, although there are some hopeful signs. The airport has been reopened. The tarmac landing area is okay. The main terminal building is cracked, but that can always be bypassed. The control tower was damaged, but I gather that they are managing without a portable one is going to be installed very shortly by American authorities. I think the communication network has been badly damaged. We've had a mini revolution in Haiti. The cellular phone business has grown exponentially. Half of Haitians now have cellular phones. However, some of the major providers were damaged. For instance, the building, the headquarters building of Digicel, which is the one of the major companies there, is tilting. It's brand new, but it's tilting. It gives you an idea of the strength of the earthquake. But they've restored service, as I understand it. So things are getting better. And Minister, in collaboration with the Haitian National Police Force, are clearing the roads, the major arteries in Port-au-Prince. So life is slowly getting back to normal, if I may put it that way.
But, well, you certainly may. You have family there. What do you know about your family?
Well, my sister-in-law was missing, and she was found yesterday at noon, bruised, slightly wounded. She has received medical care, and she's doing well. She spent the night at the Champ de Mars, where thousands of Haitians spend the night. A cousin and his wife died in a collapsed building, and the son of another cousin died also in a collapsed building. And a number of friends and their siblings and acquaintances were not so lucky.
I'm sorry. One of the things that's very sobering for San Franciscans is that the presidential palace collapsed, and it was supposed to be about the strongest thing against an earthquake in Haiti.
To me, that was the most shocking image. And I'd like to point out that not only the presidential palace, but some of the key ministries that surround it in that around the Champ de Mars in Port-au-Prince, which is the center of the republic, they have collapsed. Haiti is a very highly centralized country. As a matter of fact, jokingly, Haitians always refer to Port-au-Prince as the Republic of Port-au-Prince. To me, the fact that so many of these buildings, the parliament, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Ministry of Health, the fact that so many of these buildings have collapsed and many people died in the process, is an indication to me that the Haitian government has almost been decapitated under the best of tough conditions. Its performance leaves a great deal to be desired, but things are now down to zero, it seems to me. And this raises the issue as to how it's going to be able to collaborate with this massive foreign assistance that's being put in place.
Well, it brings up a political question, too, and because we've talked with you in the past about the ousting of former President Aristide and the restoration back in 1994. Is there a sense that President Preval, from your perspective, not only in Haiti but here among Haitian Americans, that there would be a desire to bring President Aristide back or to at least change the government under the president?
I don't think that's in the cards right now. There's been some dissatisfaction with Preval's presidency. I would like to say that there has been a lot of corruption in the government and people are unhappy with that. I think we've been through elections to renew a third of the parliament in the spring of last year. And in the process of doing that, President Aristide's party, Lavalas party, was excluded from the process. More recently, a new round of election was started. And again, they excluded President Aristide's party to the disappointment of a great many people. Not that I necessarily personally agree with the policies of the party, but it is the majority party in Haiti, at least the party with the largest following. And to exclude the party from that process was in my view, foolhardy and very cynical.
So
I think that there was unhappiness with the performance of the Preval administration.
There's functionally no government in Haiti presently, is what you're saying, I believe.
Well, to me, given what has happened to the ministries and given the fact that the country is very heavily centralized and that local government in Haiti is really meaningless in terms of providing services. To me, there is a huge problem there.
Let me invite listeners to join us. This will be a half-hour segment. I know many of you are concerned about what's going on in Haiti, and the State Department has actually created a text number for donations. If you simply text Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, to 90999 and a donation of $10, you can automatically make that to the Red Cross, charge it to your cell phone bill. Just visit the website state.gov, state.gov. And if you'd like to join us by phone, if you have questions for our guests, we're talking to Max Blanchet and Margaret Trost, you are welcome. Our toll-free number is available to you now. It's 866-733-6786. And that's for questions or comments about what's going on in Haiti. And it's obviously been devastating. We would like to hear from you. You can also send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or you can leave questions or comments on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on this segment. But if you have something you'd like to say about what's going on there, or if you know about some relief that's going on and want to bring it to public attention, or if you have a question, by all means, feel free to join us by phone or by email. The number again is 866-733-6786, and the email address, forum@kqed.org. Since we're going to be moving into another segment at 9:30, it would be a good idea if you have something to contribute that you call now. Margaret Trost, my understanding is there are only a couple of fire stations in Port-au-Prince and there's no 9/11?
Well, that's what my understanding is, too. That's what I was told in terms of helping people understand that the infrastructure to respond to a disaster of this level, or even a minor one, it hasn't been in place. And so for people to just pick up a phone and call 911 and expect an ambulance to come within a few minutes, of course, that's not there. The numbers of doctors available, tiny. I've got from Partners in Health a ratio of one doctor for every 10,000 Haitians. So in terms of the availability of fire trucks, I've never seen one or an ambulance on my visits to Haiti. So there's just not the kind of infrastructure that we are used to here. So they were beginning with a real fragile infrastructure and position. And so to add this on top of it, just understand how difficult it is for people to get the services that they need.
How far and wide is the damage? Like I said before, it's certainly beyond Port-au-Prince.
Definitely. I think Max is talking about the difficulty with communications. I don't think that we really know. Max may have heard more, but we haven't even been able to have communication from the people that we're working with in Port-au-Prince. But if people felt this earthquake in the Dominican Republic and in Cuba and other places, I would imagine the damage is very widespread.
Yeah, the damage is widespread. I was told that there was damage in Jérémie and in Lekai. I'm from Lekai, and these are towns that are, 100 or so miles from Port-au-Prince. The epicenter of the earthquake was in the middle of the southern peninsula, halfway between Jacmel and Léogâne. And all of this stretch of land along the coast from Léogâne to Port-au-Prince was very badly hit. Carrefour, the main neighborhood in the southern reaches of Port-au-Prince, was very heavily damaged. Delmar, another area in Port-au-Prince, was very heavily damaged.
This is also a very shallow earthquake. It's about 6 miles
very
deep.
Very shallow earthquake. And the Bel Air, which is a huge neighborhood, was very badly damaged. And you're talking about a population within, 30-mile reach of the epicenter of 3 million people. That gives you an idea of what the impact might have been. So when the prime minister talks about, 100,000 casualties, dead people, of course, one has to question where he got these figures, but it may not be that far-fetched.
Let me get our callers on here. Our first caller is Leslie. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if both Margaret and Max might address the issue of why Haiti's infrastructure was so fragile in the first place, and some of the historical reasons, recent and past.
Well, that's a whole program in itself, but of course, what immediately comes to mind, Max Blanchet, is just the abject poverty in Haiti and the difficulty of living under tyranny for so many years, under the Duvalier years particularly, no?
Very much so. I grew up in Haiti in the 50s, and Haiti, since about 1957, kind of missed the boat completely as a result of the emergence of the Duvalier dictatorship that controlled the country for almost 30 years.
Of course, if you believe Pat Robertson, it's all payback because of rebelling against the French. I mean, we're hearing these kind of outlandish and extraordinarily stupid statements from people in this country that are just unbelievable in themselves.
Well, it's pure rubbish. As for rebelling against the French, as a Haitian, I'm very proud of the fact that we have written a great chapter in the struggle for freedom.
Let me thank
the Haitian Revolution was an inspiration to people all over the world, especially black people.
Let me thank the caller, we'll go to a caller in Mesa, Arizona. Alicia, join us. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to ask if once we get past this incredibly heartbreaking time of crisis in this country, if there is, because of the attention that's been brought about by this earthquake, some chance that there will be some help brought to these people that has not been there for them before? And if so, what might be done and by whom?
Hmm. Margaret Trost?
Wow, that is such an important point that so often we see when there are catastrophes around the world that the world's attention goes to that place for a very short window of time, and then we don't hear it anymore. It's not in our papers. We're not talking about it. And in this case, with the level of destruction and the fragile position that Haiti was in when this began, the need for ongoing care and work in collaboration with the Haitians and working with them to help rebuild is so necessary. I don't know exactly, to answer the caller's question, where that comes from or how that's coordinated, but I feel that this could be an example from the world of one of the first times where there is an ongoing collaboration with the country that has had such had the catastrophe to really rebuild and restructure and to provide the infrastructure and the support so that they can move forward.
Well, it brings up an important question in another vein, Max Blanchet, and that Edwidge Danicat, one of the finest writers to come out of Haiti, who now has been in the United States for a number of years, talks about the great will of the Haitian people to rebuild. And maybe I can get you to comment on that.
Well, I think that one way, the situation in Haiti has been very bad for very many years. And whenever I go down there, I'm always struck by the resiliency of the Haitian people. And the way you can explain that the people in some ways have managed to survive under extremely difficult odds or against extremely difficult odds is simply due to the fact that there are great networks of solidarity among Haitians of all classes in a way. And that this is a crucial element to me in the modernization of Haiti, and that tremendous sense of solidarity in the country must be tapped. And to me, this means that whatever government emerges out of this, I hope it learns one lesson. It has to be truly sensitive to the needs of the people in Haiti and work with the people in Haiti so that people can genuinely participate in the process of governance.
Douglas is our next caller. Join us, Douglas. Good morning. You're on Forum.
Thanks very much for taking my call. First, I'd like to say, as a U.S. citizen, I'm very, very saddened, and my hopes and prayers go out for Haiti. Also, as a U.S. citizen, I am entirely distressed. We had no warning with the Haitian earthquake, yet with Katrina, we had days of warning. Our government has the ability, and our country has the ability to help people in an international basis instantly, but we have no ability to help our own citizens in a couple of days after a major, major catastrophe hits our own country. This, to me, is not only a great thing about our country, but it's also distressing. And there's probably no comment you can make because I'm not having a question. It's really just a statement. It saddens me and pleases me what this country can do.
Well, I thank you for that statement. It brings up another point, though. And Max Blanchet, do you have a sense at this point about how President Obama is handling this?
Well, the statement yesterday was very positive. I have the impression that the resources are being marshaled to help Haiti. But it remains to be seen how effective this is going to be. And as pointed out earlier, the international community can be very fickle. And, you know, interests will focus on some other crises, and there will be other crises. And I'm afraid that the situation in Haiti may be forgotten unless we are very careful about it. And so I hope that the international community will stay in Haiti. I hope that the international community will coordinate its efforts among the many members and many countries that are willing to help.
I think it's been ephemeral and reactive for the most part, as has been stated here. One quite positive thing, I think, as far as Haiti is concerned, is probably the fact that Bill Clinton has been named the UN envoy to Haiti and has taken a major interest in Haiti that has been, at least to a great extent, enduring, at least of recent years. Here's a listener who writes, I don't have any rescue experience. I don't have much money. I will give money. I do have vacation time. Do they need regular people there to help, or would I be in the way? Do I just contact the Red Cross? A lot of people asking those kinds of questions. Margaret Trost, can you help?
Well, I am not sure what the best way is for coordination. I'm thinking Max may know in terms of his work with the Lambie Fund, a much larger organization than we are, in terms of how people can respond. What I am heartened by is the enormous response, the number of emails and people wanting to help and donating and wanting to go. I'm just not aware what is best. Max, do you know?
Well, I think that at this point, it's best to help these organizations that are on the front line in Haiti today at this very hour. And I'd like to mention Doctors Without Borders. They have a hospital on the main highway there, not far from Cité Soleil, and they are treating people. They were overwhelmed the first day by, 500 or 600 patients. They need support. They have a website. We can send money to them. As for going to Haiti and doing volunteer work, I think people must be very careful. Getting to Haiti may be getting easier during the next day or so, but people have to work things out so that they are well-received in Haiti. People are overwhelmed down there.
Well, Max, as you know, we have wonderful listeners, so many of them writing in, calling in, offering to help and wanting to help. And you actually can find out how you can help by just going to npr.org and under the Haiti story, click on How to Help. Also, I mentioned earlier that the State Department has created a text number for donations. You can simply text Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, to 90999, and a donation of $10 is automatically made to the Red Cross and charged to your cell phone bill. And you just also visit the website state.gov if you want more information. We have been saying this is a 7.5 earthquake. The latest on the Richter scale tells us it was actually a 7 Richter scale earthquake, which is in so many ways revealing, because we just had a 6.5 one up in Humboldt County, and you know, there were some tea kettles that were shaken and that sort of thing. Some china fell on the floor, but you can understand just how vulnerable and fragile these homes were in Haiti to have such devastation as we're seeing in the wake of this. What about Max getting out, Max Blanchet, getting out to the outlying regions? We hear about so much with Port-au-Prince, again, help in terms of getting out there?
Well, again, you have to look at the communications network in Haiti. Under normal conditions, they don't function particularly well, except for the telephone system, which has been modernized because of the cellular phones. But we don't really know the extent of the damage elsewhere in the country. I suspect that a number of the cities and villages on the southern peninsula have been damaged, but we don't really know how badly.
All right, once again, to find out how you can help, just go to npr.org and under the Haiti story, click on How to Help. Also, there's a text number for donations. Text Haiti to 90999, and a donation of $10 is automatically made to the Red Cross. Charged to your cell phone bill. We will continue to cover that story in Haiti, and we hope for the best, obviously. Very difficult times, very sad times. When we return, we're going to talk about Google and China, another big story. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.